Now we're discussing Lake Michigan shoreline erosion, beaches, dunes, bluffs, next steps for people who live along the coastline. A new report from the Environmental Law and Policy Center says climate change is causing more extreme Lake Michigan water levels, and action is required to address erosion and beach loss and damage to residential, commercial, and industrial areas. Join in with your assessment of Lake Michigan shoreline communities, 800-642-1234. Tom Stolpe is Executive Director of the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Good morning. Neil O'Reilly is with us as well, directs the Conservation and Environmental Science Program at UW-Milwaukee. Neil, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, Neil, start us out with a visual in our mind's eye as to how Lake Michigan shoreline is changing.
Well, it's been changing for a long time. The lake was formed 14,000 years ago when the glacier receded from the area. When the glacier receded, it left these very steep banks in some areas. They are actively eroding. A lot of people focus a lot on the elevation of Lake Michigan, which is a very important element because it determines what are the sizes of the beaches that help protect the toe of these steep banks. But also rainfall plays a big role in that when we get very wet soil in those banks, they tend to fail. And we saw that 2 weeks ago up in Port Washington, for example, where a large section of Upper Lake Park slipped into Lake Michigan. And that happened right after a heavy rainstorm.
And there are different types of terrain that is affected here, beaches and sand dunes and bluffs. How is that topography affected by climate change and the different topography?
Well, climate change is, affects the elevation of Lake Michigan. And it affects it in two ways. One is obviously when it rains, the lake is going to fill up with water. Mm-hmm. But also it affects the ice conditions in the winter. If we have heavy ice levels on the lake during the winter, we don't get a lot of evaporation off the lake, and the lake tends to rise during those periods. When we have warm winters, we get more evaporation off the lake, and so the lake tends to drop during those periods. But right now, we are on a decline because we've had a couple of dry years, and it takes several years for the lake to respond. Mm-hmm. The lake is always in a lag, kind of a year or so behind the weather, because it takes a while for water to drain off the landscape and fill the lake. But in 2020, we were almost at record levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tom, I want to get you in here. Explain how the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust works with public and private landowners near the shoreline.
Yeah, we work in our community located in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. With private landowners along Lake Michigan, we've worked with several landowners to conserve their properties using conservation easements, which promotes a balanced approach to development of their property so that larger areas of natural areas are conserved so that we're seeing appropriately sized and located development. We don't want homes and buildings located so precariously close to the bluff. We need considerable setbacks, but we also need wise development so that we're not messing up the land cover above Lake Michigan and hastening some of the erosion that we're so concerned about. So on the private side, that's how we primarily work. On working with public lands and communities, we also work to develop nature preserves along Lake Michigan. And we're in the midst of a multi-year effort to conserve one of the largest remaining undeveloped tracts of Lake Michigan in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. 131 acres, almost 3/4 of a mile of Lake Michigan, all about a half-hour drive from downtown Milwaukee. We call it the Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs. And it's a project our community is very excited about.
I'm just going to reintroduce both of you here, talking with Tom Stolpe, the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust head, and Neil O'Reilly here, Director of Conservation and Environmental Science at UW-Milwaukee, as we talk about Lake Michigan shoreline erosion, the coastline, and the implications. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Tom, I want to talk more about preserving these 131 acres of the Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs in Grafton, that you get to this one point where you're overlooking Lake Michigan. And I'm just wondering, what is special about keeping this parcel, this piece of land, out of development?
Well, there's some very critical habitat areas in the Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs. And of course, the gorge itself is an amazing natural feature, a deep ravine that goes all the way to the lake. Many listeners are probably familiar with Lion's Den Gorge, mm-hmm. which is just a stone's throw down Lake Michigan. And the Lion's Den Gorge actually provides us with natural infrastructure to have constructed a staircase, which visitors descend down to Lake Michigan to enjoy the beach. And we know many people are enjoying this amenity because we've seen during the pandemic almost 300,000 visitors come to Lion's Den Gorge. And that really underscored the need to conserve more areas. So I think the most important aspect of Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs is really its proximity to so many communities and to so many residents and visitors in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. We know very simply, we're not making any more land, but at the same time, so many more people are interested in outdoor recreation. And so providing natural amenities like Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs is really important so that current and future generations can enjoy all of Wisconsin's wonderful outdoor traditions.
Neil, you know, as you see the reshaping of ecosystems with climate change, what role do land trusts and their stewardship have in addressing shoreline erosion? What is their piece of it?
Well, the best way to protect homes from shoreline erosion is to make sure they're not built right along the shoreline. You know, the area that we're talking in right now in Ozaukee County has very high bluffs. They're very unstable. The term clay in the name of that property is important here. There's a lot of clay along the eastern shore of Lake Michigan, which helps absorb a lot of water. These bluffs are unstable, and they're going to remain unstable for a long time. It's going to be thousands of years before they're actually stable. So building right up against the bluff is just, you're waiting for a hazard to happen. So keeping these lands in their natural state is very important. The vegetation plays also a big role in here. We often focus on the elevation of Lake Michigan and the beach, but it's also the height of the bank and the type of soils and the water that's seeping through them. And the vegetation plays a huge role in holding these bluffs in place. So when you start to disturb them, as people try to create views of the water, they start to destabilize that. And I saw that a few years ago where a home just removed a couple of trees and lost their entire house because of it.
Mm. Neil O'Reilly, UW-Milwaukee environmental engineer and hydrologist, decades of experience in water resource management. Tom Stolpe with us leads the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust, a nonprofit working to protect and preserve natural areas. Join in on how to protect lakeshore towns and the future of the Lake Michigan shoreline. Your personal stories along the way on coastal erosion, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about erosion on our third coast, saving the Lake Michigan shoreline from the damage of climate change. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last year, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported a spike in the number of lakeshore property owners applying for permits to install shoreline protection. As Lake Michigan's water rose from 2018 to 2020, those permit applications jumped 144%. Join in on managing the shoreline, building in resiliency, 800-642-1234. Tom Stolp is here, heads up the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust, and hydrologist Neil O'Reilly directs the Conservation and Environmental Science Program at UW-Milwaukee. They're here for about 9 more minutes. Neil, I want to go back to you here for a moment and look at the efforts that people have in trying to protect that shoreline. They always say, you know, waterfront property, the most expensive property, and there's a limit, it's a scarce resource. What do you see lakefront homeowners doing to try to build up that shoreline?
Well, what a lot of them are doing is they're trying to address the high lake levels by putting large stone or doing activities to try to increase the size of the beach at the toe of the bank. Some of them are also trying to address the water drainage problem. The bluffs along Lake Michigan are kind of like a lasagna of different layers of soils. And in some of these areas, there's layers of clay and silt in there that traps water and then causes it to run along those layers, and the soil at the top of the bluff will slip on those when it gets wet after a large rainstorm. So it's a very complicated set of problems that you've got to kind of put all the solutions together if you're really going to try to solve it. The problem is it costs hundreds of thousands to not only millions of dollars to try to protect some of these properties.
I want to go back to you, Tom, on that cost, because it's not just trying to secure that parcel of land, 131 acres. You have to preserve, maintain, rebuild it as well. And that, too, comes with a cost.
It certainly does. We are fortunate to have such a wonderful, generous spirit in the state of Wisconsin, particularly for conserving our special places and our community. Has been overwhelmingly generous in helping us raise funds to secure this property. We also were supposed to receive a $2.3 million grant from the state of Wisconsin's Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, which exists specifically to conserve natural areas such as the Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs. Unfortunately, almost 1 year ago, we received an anonymous objection from a state lawmaker to our grant, and we've been in a sort of limbo for a year now without the receipt of those funds. We've had Republican and Democratic lawmakers trying to garner support for the Joint Committee on Finance, which is currently impeding the release of our grant, to release our grant. And so far, the Joint Committee on Finance has not acted. And it has now been revealed that the reason for the anonymous objection by a lawmaker is that a private real estate developer has hired a lobbyist to meet with state lawmakers and to pitch their own private real estate ambitions, encouraging lawmakers to withhold duly awarded grant funds from the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. So this community in Wisconsin and in Southeast Wisconsin has really the control over whether this property will be conserved. We are in the race of our lifetimes to raise additional funds. But fortunately for us, over 850 people have donated, and we are well on our way to raising the funds necessary to purchase this property, as well as to carefully restore the property to really enhance the natural resource values for current and future visitors.
You know, it sounds like you're pretty optimistic here that despite the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Grant not coming through, that you will be able to make this purchase and take this land, these 131 acres, into conservation. What would restoration look like? You know, as you look at the effects of erosion and climate change, what do you think then about restoration?
Yeah, restoration is really key to limiting the worst effects of climate change and the worst effects of erosion along Lake Michigan. And so we will be working with Ozaukee County, as well as with various state and federal agencies to restore the property. There's a wonderful forested area along the Cedar Gorge and along the shoreline that's really been decimated by the emerald ash borer. So initial goals will be to reforest that area. Currently, there are approximately 70 acres that are in agricultural production. Those fields along Lake Michigan will be restored to native grasses and prairies to help improve the natural resource values of the property. So we have wonderful restoration plans and then also some really special infrastructure goals. Eventually, Ozaukee County endeavors to build a mixed use bike path, pedestrian path connecting Lion's Den Gorge to the Cedar Gorge Clay Bluffs to the north and taking visitors all the way into beautiful downtown Port Washington. So really envision yourself years from now on a visit to Port Washington, being able to walk or take a bike ride from this wonderful natural resource nature preserve all the way into the really charming, vibrant downtown Port Washington. It's going to be a special, special place.
Lots of plans in the works, lots of vision there. Tom Stolpe, Executive Director of the nonprofit conservation group Ozaukee Washington Land Trust. Neil O'Reilly here as well, Director of Conservation and Environmental Science at UW-Milwaukee, as we talk about Lake Michigan's shoreline, next steps to help in, you know, ensuring that that shoreline is there and preserved. You can join in with your stories about erosion, 800-642-1234. Neil, how do you feel about the use of living shorelines? That's become this, it seems like that's really gaining traction, using natural materials like plants and sand and rock instead of building these cement barriers.
Yeah, the advantage is those are going to be much more resilient as we see climate change going forward. The problem with these sort of hard solutions of building concrete walls or placing large stone out into the lake is you're basically just putting a Band-Aid on the problem. What often happens is you build these hard structures along the lake. What happens is waves come in off the lake and they end up eroding the beach that you're trying to protect. So it comes in, it hits that hard surface and it bounces back out. And so you get a rebounding wave that actually damages the beach. We often see when people protect their own property, they end up damaging their neighbor's properties at the same time. So using these more natural solutions is going to work better, last longer, and be much more resilient as lake levels change, temperatures change, rainfall changes.
And, you know, Neil, as you look at the spike in property owners, especially during a high water crisis, you know, with their shoreline construction permits, what is the role of state lawmakers and local ordinances about building and development? What do you want to see?
Well, what I personally would like to see is that we understand that this lake shoreline is going to continue to erode back over time. It's been eroding for tens of thousands of years, and that this is basically a hazard zone, and that we really should require building to be back further from the lake. And we just haven't understood that yet. I don't know of any community that really has a strong ordinance that prevents people from building literally on the edge of a cliff.
Tom, we only have a few seconds left, but what are the next few months looking like for you at the Land Trust?
Well, as I said, we've had over 850 families, businesses, representing thousands of citizens from across the state donating to this project. Right now, I know we have many more generous supporters and regional businesses determining how much they can give to this once-in-a-lifetime Lake Michigan Nature Preserve opportunity. Many have stepped up with amazingly generous gifts. Many more will be coming, I'm sure, to make sure this treasure isn't lost. But the future of this preserve is up to us in Wisconsin. And with Wisconsin's wonderful love for conservation on our side, I have every confidence we will have the financial resources to forever conserve this property one way or another.
Tom and Neil, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Tom Stolpe, Executive Director of the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust, working to protect natural resources through partnerships, public and private. Neil O'Reilly, Director of the Conservation and Environmental Science Program at UW-Milwaukee. Ahead this hour, we get an inside look at Milwaukee's newest radio channel. It's called Hyphen. Have you heard? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're listening to the first song played Sunday on the station Hyphen, launched by Radio Milwaukee. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is the late jazz icon Al Jarreau, who never forgot his Milwaukee roots, performing Milwaukee.
It's a car moving along the highway. You moving to California with me. Almost 2,000 miles from my home, sweet home, 2,000 miles.
Hyphen is a new urban alternative channel trying to elevate Black voices, reflect the diversity of Black culture across musical genres. Join in on what you want Hyphen to bring to Milwaukee Radio, 800-642-1234. Tariq Moody is Director of Digital Strategy at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, host of Rhythm Lab Radio and 88.9 After 9, Program Director for Hyphen. Tariq, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness, starting it off with Al Jarreau, that is just so beautiful. What went into thinking about what would be the first song for Hyphen?
I wanted something local, but something reflective of the culture. And I wanted something local that people recognize across the country. And what other person better than Al Jarreau to represent the launch of the station and his song Milwaukee, which represents where we're creating this new venture here.
Mm. So. He was called the acrobat of scat. Can you kind of explain why? What was his great talent? What did he bring to jazz?
He brought a lot of things to jazz. I mean, the vocality of jazz, you know, jazz like. Mostly as instrumentalists and just saxophones and mm-hmm. trumpets, but he brought kind of a new vocal style of a soul that I felt that was kind of added to jazz. Jazz mm-hmm. has always been about evolution and not staying in one moment in time. And that's why I love jazz. Al Jarreau added something to the jazz tapestry. Other artists added the jazz tapestry. So he just helped evolve jazz to another level.
Well, Tariq, I dare say you've got a new baby in Hyphen.
Yeah.
So what is your approach to it? What do you want to bring to this channel?
So Hyphen, it just basically is a new format called Urban Alternative, spearheaded by the Corporation Public Broadcasting. There's now six stations part of this format. They just released another RFP to bring three more online, and their goal was trying to get more multicultural audiences, Black and brown folks, to the public radio space, specifically the music space. But my personal vision in Milwaukee was to create something for I felt the Black community has been culturally neglected, and I want to bring an opportunity to, through music, through storytelling, and through events, to really bring something unique and different to a community that's 40% of the population in mm-hmm. Milwaukee. So,
and this music that you're the genres, you know, run the gamut because mm-hmm. This is not just hip hop and R&B. Can you tell us about trying to make that reflective landscape?
So yeah, we're gonna, of course, we play hip hop and R&B, but also within hip hop and R&B, playing a lot of artists that don't get a lot of love on commercial radio station, well, in that world, whether they're from here or from the England or from France or from Africa. We want to reflect the diversity of just within hip hop and R&B. Then we also realize there's I'm a jazz fan, but there's a lot of young jazz artists who are doing amazing things that don't get any love on the jazz stations across the country. So we want to bring them into the fold. There's dance. You know, Black culture had a heavy hand in creating house and electronic music. We're playing that as well. Even on the folk and indie angle, artists like Buffalo Nichols, who's from Milwaukee here, who signed to signed to a label, doing well. We play his music. Valerie June, Allison Russell, Barty Strange, artists like TV and Radio, who are like pivotal into the indie scene and rock scenes. So we want to try to bring those into the fold and really show the diversity, that we're more than a monolith, that we're more than a box, that we're just diverse as any other group in the country.
Tariq, you mentioned the music, the storytelling, and events. What is the storytelling piece? How will you weave that into the station?
So like our sister station, 88.9, we tell stories throughout. I guess the best way to call them, we call them pop stories, right? They're like 2-3 minute pieces about the community and the people who are making their city better. We're doing the same thing on the station on Hyphen as well. Right now, we're basically playing what 88.9 plays for our stories, but eventually my goal is to have our own story team and start bringing our stories from our community into the mix as well. But like in between songs, you might hear a story every other hour, a 2-3 minute story about an organization or person doing something really powerful, impactful in community. Trying to be something different instead of a lot of commercial stations play a lot of commercials. Of course, we don't, like yourselves. But we want to be try to uplift and inspire through these stories.
Talking with Tariq Moody about Radio Milwaukee's new urban alternative channel just launched. It's called Hyphen. He is, Tariq, a longtime host on 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, program director for Hyphen as well. You can join in on what you want to hear, what you want the station to represent to Milwaukee, 800-642-1234. Tariq, you have like more than 20 years hosting and with Rhythm Lab Radio. What does it mean for you to be spearheading a project like this?
Well, first off, I didn't see this coming. Like, you know, I was living in Minneapolis doing radio for fun, but I used to be practicing architecture. So just to look at, you know, the trajectory of my life to end up doing this is really something special. I mean, I wanted to give back to a city, especially a city of people that look like me. I almost moved back to my hometown, Atlanta, back during a pandemic, and then George Floyd happened. And then I recommitted to Milwaukee because I feel like the community needs to be represented, needs to be at the table. And I want to create an opportunity for that with a media platform. I mean, I can't solve all the problems, but hopefully it can inspire, influence. And it's not just a radio station. My goal is to become something really unique and special for a community. We want to highlight people doing great things in the city. We want to, you know, support the Black businesses. For example, we collaborated with the first Black woman-owned kombucha company, created a limited kombucha company. Our designs, our logos, our T-shirts are designed by a Black designer who went to MIAD. They were printed by a Black company. So we want to not only, you know, talk the talk, we want to walk the talk as well by supporting Black entrepreneurs. And also, more importantly, we realize Black women are the key to our community and key to our country. So things that really sets it apart is our gender balance in the music we play. We play about 60% women to men. So we have women identifying artists, women voices, throughout the artists at 60% level, because we realize women are really, especially in community, are leaders, are entrepreneurs, our moms, are really the ones that really lead the way in our community. So we want to support them as well. So that's kind of the thing we want to do, not just the music, but we really want to be integral to the community and uplift the community here in Milwaukee.
It really seems like you've been looking at all of the details, all of the details to lift and elevate the Black culture, Black community. And I'm wondering, you know, DJs on Hyphen are also an integral part of that. So what is your approach there with DJing Hyphen?
So right now, until July 4th, we're just giving people a little taste of music. Our DJs start live on July 4th. We have 3 DJs, including me, Anthony Foster, who is a father and a real estate agent. And then we have Element Everest, who is an artist, mom, businesswoman, influencer, taking over the airways. So we have diverse voices on the air from the community as well. They live and represent Milwaukee. I wanted diverse voices on the air as DJs as well. We have a community engagement coordinator, DJ Brewer, who's originally from South Africa. We want to show the beauty and diversity not just through the music, but through our team as well. So when you hear us and see us, the breadth of the Black culture and Black community.
Why the name Hyphen?
Well, just like I mentioned, like Anthony is like a real estate agent, father, hyphenated. Like a lot of people in our culture are multi-hyphenate because out of necessity, you know, I'm a cook, I'm a veteran. And we want to represent that. We're more than just one thing. We're multiple things. Also, hyphen means to the actual grammatical thing is joining of two words, connecting two words. We want to connect the culture. So that's what kind of why the term hyphen and the F-I-N it spelled that way is the future is now.
Oh, so
that's
wow.
Where the name comes from.
I love that. You know, you had me an architect, How does how does your world of architecture connect and hyphenate, if you will, to the music world?
That's a good question. A lot of people, like, I have a nickname called AKA the Architect, and most people thought it was just because I architected music. No, like, it's just because that was my past life. but the process of, you know, design thinking, you heard that term, came from architecture. You know, it's how you think. The process of learning how to design a building can be translated in everything else throughout your life. I use that same processes that I learned in school and in my career as an architect to think of how I program the station, how I partner with communities. It's the same kind of process to build a building. You're building a movement. You're building an opportunity. You're designing, designing a product that really should reflect community. So that's a lot of it translates over in the processes and the thought process of how to do things. And I really thank, you know, Howard University School of Architecture to give me that ability to think differently because of architecture.
Tariq Moody stays with us, Radio Milwaukee's program director for its new urban alternative channel. It's called Hyphen. Join in on diversity and culture, the Black experience through musical genres, what the station means to Milwaukee, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tariq Moody here on the Ideas Network.
It's a car moving along the highway.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're listening to the acoustic version of Within You by Memphis singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist Valerie June. It's part of our conversation about Radio Milwaukee's new urban alternative channel. Let's hear a bit more.
Ash.
Radio Milwaukee's channel, it launched this week called Hyphen, one of five stations nationwide last year to start an initiative to reach young multicultural audiences. Grant coming from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Join in on what you want Hyphen to be to Milwaukee, 800-642-1234. Hyphen's program director, Tariq Moody, with us for about 9 more minutes. Tariq, I'm thinking about your 60-40 rule. I want to call it a rule. 60% women musicians, 40% men. Well, Valerie June, part of that, as you mentioned earlier, some of the music that you'll play. What do you appreciate about her musicianship?
I got the chance to, our sister station, 89, we were one of the first people to play her in the country. It was just refreshing to hear kind of learning about, you know, Black contributions to folk and country and learning what she brought to the table and her uniqueness, her voice, her storytelling, her writing. And I became hooked on her music. I've been a fan since her first record, Working Woman Blues, was the first single. And I felt like she's definitely needs to be part of Hyphen. Like, we put out a really cool TikTok where we have three women talking about Hyphen. and they're three women from different perspectives of the musical spectrum. One was Valerie June, one was Ibe, who were twins, French-Cuban twins, and then Lakia, a rapper that's signed to now Motown, that's from Milwaukee. So we want that, that really symbolizes what we're trying to do here. We want to show the diversity of creativity in our community, in our culture, and that's no better way to do that through the amazing women who are doing it right now.
You mentioned Lakia, and she's had a really, you know, a special place with Radio Milwaukee as you've worked with her through the years. And I really like that connection there. Can you speak to that a bit?
Well, yeah. I guess one direct connection is that we have a program that helps, Radio Milwaukee has a program called Amplifier that really works with local musicians to learn about the industry. And it's ran by Chad Roper, who happens to manage Lakia. And we've been championing Lakia. Like, you know, we want to champion local artists. One of the things 88.9 and Hyphen does is that we want to champion Milwaukee artists. On Hyphen, we have two Milwaukee artists played during the hour. But artists like Lakia, we want to make sure people know about her. Like, she's blowing up. She played Pharrell's festival. Another artist, Huey V, signed to Memphis Bleek label from Milwaukee. I'm from Atlanta. Like, you can't get away with not playing local music on commercial stations in Atlanta. I want to change that here in Milwaukee.
What are the biggest barriers, biggest challenges that the channel will face in its first year?
I guess just getting the word out is the biggest challenge. Like, we don't have our own terrestrial signal. We're on HD, trying to convince people to listen to HD and streaming. So we're really focused on digital. So it's really awareness. And just getting people to know about it is the biggest challenge, you know. It's a new format, so it's definitely new in the media landscape, not just in Milwaukee, but across the country. You know, it's only a handful of stations doing it now. So it's really all about awareness. Just like any new product, it's about marketing, right? Like, anything you do new to get people to know about it, it's just getting people to know about it. Try it out.
I wonder though, Tariq, if digital is a barrier anymore, because people carry their radios in their pockets. It's called their smartphone.
Yeah. So that's what we're focused on, digital. Like, we really want to, I have a vision to do some really interesting things digitally. Like, for example, I personally want to launch a Hyphen jazz stream. I call it a jazz station, not for your father. I want to try to really create a kind of a new media platform. I want to take the ideas of how startups do in this industry and apply it to public radio. And I feel like Hyphen is a great incubator place to try these ideas out. And I mean, digital is a focus, but again, it's just getting people to know about it, right? You know, if you don't, if you sometimes the whole adage of if you build it, they come is not always true. You got to build it and sell it and put a billboards up and put ads up, then they'll come.
And sustain it. How do you see, you know, it's funded by a grant from CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but how do you see the sustainability into the future and trying to keep that that financial stability?
That's always a good question to any media venture, whether it's public or commercial. It's trying to look at different revenue models. Like, I'm really, I am a techie by nature. I am a fan of startups. I run tech programs. I help startups out. And so I'm trying to look at it different ways of different revenue options that public media hasn't looked at. You know, we're talking about festivals, partnerships. We're working on a partnership with the first Black woman owned podcast network out of DC, a live network. We'll see where that goes. I have ideas of talking to corporations outside of the state about partnering and figuring out what we can do together. Of course, you got the traditional, you know, grants and all that kind of stuff, membership, but we're trying to do a different membership model than traditional public radio. We're trying to figure out what that would look like. So that's still in the works. I mean, we got a little time to figure that out, but yeah, we're trying to think differently on the revenue model for this product. The funny thing, we've got a lot of interest already, and I'm hoping that will stay with us. But yeah, so that's kind of the thoughts of it. Trying to think of it just like any other business, and the goal is to scale it. I mean, my goal, yes, it's a product made with love in Milwaukee, but I want it to be beyond Milwaukee. One of my goals is to create partnerships and a pipeline with Madison community, Chicago's community, and go beyond. the mid, especially Black Midwest, which I feel in the media landscape nationally, it's also neglected. All the stories, and I was always in the coast and the South, but Black Midwest seems to be kind of left out of those conversations. And I want to change that conversation, not just for Milwaukee, for across the Midwest.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because stations like these are found in major, major markets like New York and Houston and your hometown of Atlanta and Chicago. But outside of Chicago, not so much in the Midwest. How could that change?
Well, CPB is trying to change that. Like Minneapolis launched their urban alternative. We're trying to create a network together and like really, you know, we're stronger together. So we're trying to figure out what that looks like as kind of an alliance, right? And how we can, you know, come together and help us not only in revenue, reach new audiences. So it's all about partnerships and collaborations. That's what takes us, that would help us, you know, win, not just survive, but thrive and be successful.
Also, that you launched it on Juneteenth, I would imagine that that was also very purposeful in doing that.
Yeah, it's the symbolism of what that means. Of course, you know, Galveston, Texas, the Union soldiers came and told the slaves 3 years after, or 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, they're free. We wanted to be representative of what that really means, and a station that really shows our culture and all of its lights and beauty and spectrums. And I think no other day represent that more than Juneteenth. I mean, even the collaboration of our kombucha was red, like red drink symbolizes Juneteenth. So we created a special kombucha that represented Juneteenth. The fact that we work with Black designers and Black companies for our t-shirts, it's really, we want to be something, as I said before, I say, Haifa is not a radio station, it's a movement. That's what I'm trying to create.
Oh, Tariq, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All the best. Tariq Moody, Director of Digital Strategy at 88.9 Radio Milwaukee, Program Director at Hyphen, that is the new urban alternative station created by Radio Milwaukee, launched Sunday. We have a link at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, we talk about the scientific study of death and bereavement with the new director of the Thanatology Program at Edgewood College. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.